You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
And not everything I'm going to talk about today is illegal. But everything that I'm going to talk about today is bad for regular Americans.
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
I'm a geek. I'm a nerd. I'm a data wonk.
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I talk about food a lot on the show. It's a thing. I am a foodie.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. A big, big thanks to our last guest, Professor Emeritus, now retired, congratulations, to Professor Howard Schwaber, again, of the University of Wisconsin-Madison, a lawyer, a political scientist, a historian. We can't wait to have him back. I love it when one of our guests can make us all much smarter. We ended the hour talking about the fact that the Constitution hypothetically prevents the president from accepting gifts from a foreign country. So Donald Trump's going to get this $400 million palace in the sky. By the way, if you haven't seen pictures of this puppy, go check them out. Just Google Qatar airplane palace in the sky and take a look. The pictures are pretty gosh darn amazing. And my mistake, everybody, we're going to be joined by Corinne Hendrickson at the bottom of this hour at 5:30 to talk about the Republican cuts in the budget to childcare specifically. And I'm not talking about the budget reconciliation bill in Capitol Hill, though that is disgusting as well. I'm talking about the Republicans in our state government and our state legislature taking a chainsaw to the provisions that Governor Evers put into his proposed budget to help middle-class families. We're going to discuss that because today is National Day Without Childcare. We're going to discuss that starting at 5:30 with Ms. Hendrickson of Main Street Alliance. But Matt, I wanted to spend a few minutes with you about the airplane, the palace in the sky airplane. And I'm very happy that Professor Schwaber brought up the Clinton Foundation. And some of what I'm going to just say is wiggle room under the law, right, that permits what any regular person would call corruption, right? And the fact that our laws that regular people would say, that's not clear enough, that's not good enough, that shouldn't be possible. Whether we're talking about donations made to, I don't know, an inaugural committee by right. FedEx, when the guy on the board of directors for FedEx is now apparently being appointed postmaster general. So that's cool. Whether we're talking about Qataris giving Donald Trump a $500 million plane, whether we're talking about a Chinese crypto guy buying into the meme coin of Donald Trump to the tune of some $20-30 million, which will go into the president's pocket, whether we're talking about World Liberty Financial, which takes transaction fees, which has already garnered the Trump family some $300 million in profits just since January. Some estimates put the Trump family's wealth as increasing over $1 billion each month since January 20th. The overt, out loud, proud monetization of the presidency, right? That's what we're witnessing. And I just want to, because we're going to be talking about childcare, the other big news today is like, we've got a big, beautiful deal with China. China deal. Tariffs down to 35%. But like strollers are still up some 30-40% in pricing, right? formula.
He didn't want to hear about strollers when he was asked either.
No, he doesn't.
He couldn't care less about people who have kids and need to make the
This is what's bananas
to
me.
Pay the rent.
You're going to get a $500 million palace in the sky, which you are going to ride around in for the rest of your life, and you say, let them eat cake. To the rest of Americans struggling to pay for childcare, struggling to pay for strollers, whatever it may
be,
Maggie, it's just so gross.
Yeah, and he also says, I'm so benevolent to the American people, I'm not taking a salary. And yet he's making $1 billion a month, so we can forego the $500,000 salary or whatever it is, because he's raking it in like nobody's business.
I'll take the grifter in chief
for sure.
Right. I'll take $1 billion a month to forego my salary in like investment earnings. That's just stupid. Mark, when we zoom out and we look at this, what do you think the American people see? One of our good friends is on the text line, Mark from Sussex. He's like, oh, the stock market loves it. I'm like, the stock market is good for a day. It's down overall since January 20th. Mark from Sussex, our conservative friend, oh, this is all great. Big deal with the UK and China. There's still going to be the effective tariff rate for a middle-class family is 17.6%. That's according to analysis today published by the Yale Budget Lab that took into consideration the reduction of that tariff level from China. It was at about 27%. Just so that we're clear here, Mark and every Trump voter, a Trump tax of 17.6% is higher than any even totaled inflation rate for over the Biden presidency taken in aggregate, not a trailing measure. It's greater than that. So was this about egg prices and gas prices and housing prices and supporting the family and working families? Or was it about something totally different than that, Matt?
Well, I think it was about the fact that his super rich friends were saying, and his corporate friends were saying, we're taking a bad hit here on these tariffs. You got to change your tariff policy. The people who have the most money in the market saw a lot of money go out the door that they didn't appreciate. And so the bond market wasn't cooperating. People were fleeing the dollar for the first time in a time of economic crisis. And so he relented here. And you can't really cheer for the guy after he drove the market down when the market comes back up, but not quite as high as it was before. I mean, this was good only for the speculators, really.
Well, and that's there's an important point there. If we want to talk about the grift, whether we're talking about the meme coin, 750,000 people losing a ton of money on the meme coin, there's like a handful of people made more than 10 million, right? On the day that he walked back the reciprocal tariffs, there was a whole bunch of people that bought calls, which is a future which bets that the market's going to go up. They did so right around 1 o'clock in the afternoon. By 1:18, when he actually put the post out on Truth Social that he was rolling back those reciprocal tariffs, a whole bunch of people in the know, the insiders, made a pile of money. That's not regular people. I'd like someone, and Mark from Sussex and conservative Bob, if you are going to tell me that you cared about inflation under the Biden administration, then you have to be consistent and tell me that you care about the tariff tax under the Trump administration. Listen, I've never said, ooh, this inflation under Joe Biden and the fact that real prices aren't coming down for middle-class families, that's a good thing. What I said was the fundamentals of the U.S. economy were incredibly strong. What we are seeing is the bifurcation of our economy, that when the economy is strong, it doesn't benefit. The vast amount of benefit of that strong economy doesn't go to working people. It goes to the business ownership class.
Right.
That's a problem in our economy. We should do better about that. But make no mistake, an overall economy that's doing well, not well enough for middle class and working people, is a better off economy for middle class and working people than an economy that is tanking, ruled by chaos, that's not just not good for the middle class, it's also not good for the business owners. I don't get it, Matt.
Well, it's just they're cheering for their team. I think that's what it's come down to. A lot of people, you know, either inherit their political views from their parents and root for their team, or they, you know, picked a team and they just want to root for the team. So when the team is doing well, they, they cheer. And it's not much more sophisticated than that sometimes. But look, I mean, the people who are playing the market over the last couple of months, those aren't everyday people. Those aren't the vast majority of people listening to this show or the vast majority of people in Wisconsin. The people who are making out like bandits on the speculation are the top 1% or the 0.1%.
Right.
And the rest of us are being played for chumps. And you're right on the inflation, on the tariffs, it's still going to be tough on everyday people going into the stores buying necessities because inflation is, and the Fed is still worried about the inflationary pressure of these tariffs. So I don't think that what happened today is going to change the fundamental issue here that, you know, Trump's been messing around. No business person can really plan rationally because we have a guy who is so impulsive at the top.
You don't know, is the 90-day, moratorium going to hold, or is he going to wake up one day and put it back in place? Conservative Bob and Mark from Sussex, my two conservatives, blowing me up on the text line. You keep wanting to change the topic. I can say kudos to the Trump administration for negotiating the release of Edon Alexander. That is a good thing. I'm never going to say it wasn't. I'll question whether or not that's the acumen of the foreign policy negotiating skills of the Trump administration. But that's objectively positive. But what you're not addressing on the text line is the fact that this is not good for middle class Americans. There's nothing good about making prices even higher for middle class Americans. If his point was to raise trillions in revenues, I guess the 145% tariff can go then. If his goal was to bring manufacturing back to the United States, I guess that's gone now. It doesn't make sense. There's no cogent through line. And when business owners, especially small business owners, who employ somewhere in the ballpark of 68 to 70 million Americans, when small business owners don't know if they will have product to sell from month to month because the guy setting tariff policy doesn't know that tariffs are taxes and Congress has laid down, that's bad for middle Americans. This is also from the Yale Budget Lab today. Again, the effective tax on middle class families at this new reduced tariff rate announced today by Donald Trump is 17.6%. That is greater than the combined inflation that you saw under Joe Biden. Is that making your eggs, housing, and childcare, and strollers, and baby formula, and pharmaceuticals cheaper? How about this translating into dollars instead of percentages? It is an average increased tax of $2,800 per household. It is going to result in just shy of 500,000 jobs lost. This is not what he ran on. He talked about tariffs generally, but he never specified any of these levels or that people would, he never said to people, well, you're going to have some pain. And just to drive the point home, how long is the tariff supercut? Do we have time for this? Probably not. We're going to listen to the Donald Trump flip-flop on the tariffs in a little supercut that Cal and Jacob put together for you. We're going to continue this discussion with Matt Rothschild after these brief messages. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'll take a half billion dollar palace in the sky to forego my salary. That sounds like a pretty good deal.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I've got a great co-host with me. His name's Matt Rothschild. He hosts an amazing podcast called Wisconsin Forward. You can find it on the Civic Media website at civicmedia.us. You can also find it on Spotify and Apple Pods. I listen every time there's a new episode. I think you should too. Big news today, right? Donald Trump coming out of the box, announcing that there's, we hope, a 90-day reprieve from the trade war with China, bringing the tariff level down from 145% to 30%. He also announced that, and we have seen that Edon Anderson, a dual Israeli-American citizen that was held by Hamas, was finally released today, right around like, I think they confirmed that the Red Cross, that Edon had been picked up by the Red Cross around like 10:20, 10:30 this morning. That is great, great news. I also wanted to talk about this because I listen to a little Fox and a little ISN because I got to know what the other side is saying. A lot of hubbub and love for Trump today because he signed an executive order about pharmaceutical prices. This one is rich to me because, first of all, a lot of the subcomponents of pharmaceuticals are imported. So many of them imported from China. So he had made pharmaceuticals much more expensive. They are now more expensive than they were on January 19th, the day before the president was sworn in, because the tariff level with China is at its highest level in decades. The effective tariff taxes, Trump tariff taxes on families is at its highest level at 17.6%, according to the Yale Budget Lab today. That's the highest it's been since the 30s in this country. But the pharmaceutical executive order I wanted to talk about, because on January 21st, he signed an executive order basically stopping all of the work that had been done by the Biden administration to cap monthly medication copay levels to better negotiate in Medicare and Medicaid with pharmaceutical companies, as they had done for insulin and other key drugs. He undid that because he couldn't take credit for it. The executive order signed yesterday or today, earlier this morning, literally does nothing. I want to be really clear here. Does nothing. It suggests that pharmaceutical companies look at raising their prices and does not a damn thing more. Hey, Matt, you know what I'm going to do right here? I'm going to write out a Maggie executive order that says, dear CEOs of Pfizer, Moderna, et cetera, please lower your prices. The thing that I would pen out will have about as much impact as the executive order signed by Donald Trump.
The other weird thing about the executive order today on pharmaceuticals, Maggie, was that he was encouraging other countries to raise their prescription drug prices. I mean, if you're in a country where you're giving people a decent, cheap price for pharmaceuticals, why would you want to raise it on your own people? It's a non-starter.
You can't make it stitch together. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Susan from McFarland, thanks for your patience. Say hi to Matt. What would you like to say this afternoon?
Well, first of all, I think it's very rich that people love the person who has just accepted that huge gift from the royal family of Qatar, and says he's for the people. And my other point is that for a long time I've been banging the drum about Main Street. People don't understand, or maybe they don't connect the dots, that the reason businesses in Main Street go away is because people don't go there, because big box stores tend to eat up all the business with lower prices, and then you have dead Main Streets. And if you go travel Wisconsin, you'll see many storefronts that are closed because they cannot compete with the big box stores. And that is the other reason we have food deserts. It's not because there isn't food or people who would run a grocery store. It's just that the margin for the big box stores is less than the ones who are mom and pops. They buy smaller quantities. So therefore, we have no grocery stores. So anyway, that's just something that's really bugged me for a long time, is how people can talk about inflation and not understand that part of it has to do with the fact that grocery stores right now are making, I mean, I walked out of the grocery store yesterday, $100 for maybe six items, and I couldn't believe that.
Yeah, Susan, it's out of control. The other thing that is happening across the agricultural industry, but specifically in, as Donald Trump would call it, the grocery, is that there used to be about 20 major grocery retailers nationwide. There's four now. So they are price gouging the hell out of people. Watch that space, because the Biden administration had at least looked like it was going to block a merger. Not sure what's going to happen with Donald Trump. 855-752-4842. Tariffs kill small businesses. Tariffs kill Main Street and benefit Wall Street, because those businesses with billion-dollar cash flows can absorb the hurt for these periods of time. Tom from Madison, say hi to Matt. What you got for us?
Yeah, I was. I listened to part of Trump's speech, and I only caught the part about pharmacies. But if I'm not mistaken, he was talking about making drugs more expensive for the EU instead of making drugs cheaper for Americans. He also compared the EU to worse than China. It's babbling and incoherent.
Verbal incontinence is what I call it. It's also verbal incontinence because the guy flies around in palaces, right? Like, the out-of-touchedness is so clear. Matt, your thought?
Yeah, I mean, totally. I mean, people in small towns running small businesses are going to be hurt. Us consumers are going to be hurt. The people speculating on Wall Street are going to do fine, and Trump and his family are doing great.
Yeah. What is it? Champagne for my real friends, say the billionaires, but real pain for all my sham friends, meaning you middle-class folks that cut million-dollar checks to my inaugural committee. Pshaw. We're going to talk about what's going on with childcare and the childcare crisis right here at home with Corrine Hendrickson of Main Street Alliance next on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. Welcome, if you're just joining us. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I got a fine guest co-host with me. His name's Matt Rothschild. You can find his podcast, Wisconsin Forward, on the Civic Media website at civicmedia.us. Also on Apple Pods, Spotify, wherever you get your favorite pods. You're going to want to add Matt's to your listening list and queue. We've got a great guest with us today. Her name is Corrine Hendrickson from the Main Street Alliance, also owner of Corrine's Little Explorers. We're here to talk to Corrine because it is National Day Without Childcare. Childcare these days, if you can find it, wow, get prepared to allocate maybe 25%+ of your take-home pay to childcare. It is outrageously expensive. It is out of reach for more and more families, even if they can find a child care agency that is taking new kids. Corrine's going to help Matt and I understand more about the crisis facing everybody here in Wisconsin and, frankly, throughout the United States. Welcome, Corrine. So happy to have you here.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Tell us, we have had a lot of success in the state of Wisconsin since COVID because there were additional government funding supports going to childcare providers throughout the state. We just lost Corrine. We're going to work to get her back. this is a program that's called Child Care Counts. What they call these are stabilization payments that go from state government directly to a child care provider based on an application system. It's like a grant that helps prop up and keep open child care providers. Guess what Republicans did on Friday, Matt? Guess what they did?
Yeah, they cut it. All $480 million.
Put a freaking big black marker through $500 million in child care provider stabilization funds. That is the thing that's helping to make childcare affordable for, if folks can find it more, maybe not affordable. Maybe I don't even want to go that far and say it's affordable. Less crushingly unaffordable, maybe a way to put it. I think we've got Corrine back. Corrine, tell us, what is Monday, the National Day Without Childcare, about? What do you want Wisconsinites to know about what the GOP is doing to the budget?
Sure. Am I good now? Everything's good?
Yep, go ahead.
Okay. So the National Day Without Childcare is the fourth annual one. It's done by the Child Care Changemakers Community Change, and it is to bring attention to the lack of funding for child care across the country. We are one of the few countries that does not actually contribute meaningfully for early childhood education child care, and it shows. Like, we have higher incarceration rates, we have higher K-12 rates, we have lower reading rates, and just lower success overall because of that. And so what we did, I have done four of these now in Nuclearis, where we've had multiple people come, about 100 people every time. And then tonight I'm actually in Platteville, which is why I'm having some internet problems, going to be presenting here at the Mountain City Bank Motor Branch. And we just really want to talk to people, understand what is happening and why childcare is so expensive and what we can do about it.
Folks, we've got Corrine Hendrickson of the Main Street Alliance. Corrine, I'm going to ask you to pick up your phone, and we're going to do it on the phone rather than on our regular hookup, just because I think it'll be easier to hear you. So thanks so much, Corrine. We're going to go ahead and do that. And let me see here. Corrine, do we have you? Are you back?
I think so. Am I good?
Yes. Much
okay.
Better. much
right,
better.
We'll do that.
We'll do it that way. Okay. Please repeat. Tell folks what is going on in Nuclearis and why they should be turning out tonight for and in honor of this National Day Without Childcare.
Yeah, so the Day Without Childcare is a national thing, event, so that we can really help people understand the lack of funding for childcare overall in our country compared to other ones. And we really pay for it with higher incarceration rates, lower health, overall health outcomes, higher mental health issues, and all just kinds of ways that it impacts and costs our economy a lot of money unnecessarily and pretty much just wastes lives. And so that's what this is all about. And tonight we are in Platteville at the Mountain City Bank Motor Branch, and we are looking forward to some people coming to this event. But then, because of what the GOP did, we actually are going to start State Without Childcare event tomorrow. At 10 o'clock, we will be at the state capitol and the state street side. We are welcoming everyone to come. We have, I think, around 100 people so far that are committed to making it. We have several programs that are closing. More and more are talking about it and getting excited about it and probably joining us on Wednesday, because we are prepared to stay as long as it takes before the Republicans to decide that funding childcare is the actual answer. It worked in our state, and it's working in other states.
Folks, that's Corrine Hendrickson of the Main Street Alliance. She is a child care provider. We are talking about this not just because today is the National Day Without Childcare, and Corrine and Main Street Alliance helping to organize a state day without childcare tomorrow. You're going to want to check that out. We're talking about this because Wisconsin state Republicans on Friday cut $480 million from Governor Evers' proposed budget for child care. Now, Corrine, I want to get your input on this, and then Matt's going to ask the next question in this segment. But Corrine, I am stunned beyond comprehension by a party who continuously says they are a party of family values, that they're here to support working families, and yet they are cutting the very thing that working families need the most to continue to provide for themselves, and that is affordable childcare. It seems completely like talking out of both sides of their mouth. If you're not wealthy enough in J.D. Vance's headspace to have a stay-at-home mom or to have in-laws that are wealthy enough to be retired and not. Basically, the message that I hear from Republicans is, well, either you're a rich person and one of the parents, preferably the mom, doesn't have to work, or you've got rich in-laws. You're wealthy, so stay home. We don't need to worry about childcare, but we're the party of family values. Am I getting the hypocrisy here, the double talk, right, Corrine?
Absolutely. And it's also irresponsible. It was actually Thursday that they kicked us out of the budget. They cut the 610 items. It's irresponsible for them. Representative Bourne claimed that they had a plan for child care, but then when pressed, he would not release it, and they still haven't. Senator Markwein is actually my senator, and he was invited to our event today in Nuclearis and invited to come and speak and multiple times, never responded, and was invited to tell us what his plan was and a way to tell his constituents exactly what it was so we could have a conversation with him. He didn't show up and he didn't respond. The Republicans haven't responded. We gave them till 5 o'clock tonight to give us the $480 million guarantee, and they didn't. And you're absolutely right. It's the wealthy and well-connected that is the winner in all of this, and they will be the ones who have the high-quality care. The rest of us basically can just kind of get put in a box, I guess, and as many kids thrown into a room as possible, because that is what the only things that we know that they have talked about in the past is 16-year-olds being in charge of classrooms full of children by themselves and give them more children on top of it. We make $13 an hour. You cannot recruit and retain people for that amount. So we have 30,000 kids sitting on wait lists that could be put into rooms right now if we could hire teachers. We can't hire teachers because we can't charge more because parents can't afford us. And it's just this vicious cycle. But really, it turns into who is going to benefit, and we're fighting to make sure that every single person benefits and make it a just system and fair system for our hardworking families.
Corrine, how do you break that vicious cycle? I mean, you mentioned in something I read that you wrote recently that people who work in childcare, it's 543 at the bottom of 556 occupations as far as the pay that people get. You're way at the bottom, the people who work in childcare, and yet parents are paying through the teeth too. And so yeah, you get it on both sides. How do we break this vicious cycle?
We break it by investing, because if we invest, we have more dollars coming into our programs. We can pay people. We can get more kids into programs. Their parents can go to work. Therefore, they're paying more state income tax. Therefore, we're paying more taxes because we make more, and we're no longer relying on Badger Care, food stamps, and other things to survive and stay in the field. And other parents are going to also be able to get off of those extra supports that they really want people off of. But if we can't get jobs and work, we can't get off of them. So they have to invest. Vermont has done it. New Mexico has done it. Canada did it. Canada did a universal child care for $10 a day and paying the teachers better. And they did one per, oops, sorry. And they increased their GDP by 1%.
And Corrine, so what is the consequence of this cut by joint finance if it's not restored?
So if it's not restored, and so what we're doing is we're doing a state without child care, because clearly they lack the imagination to understand what's going to happen. And so as teachers, we're really good at holding people accountable and teaching them, like, it's okay to make a mistake. It's okay to admit your mistake. So, hey, why don't we, like, give you the opportunity to feel what this is going to feel like while you still have a chance to fix it and put that guarantee you're going to put the $480 million back in as a state child care investment into the budget as an amendment, and we'll go back to work before it's too late and 25% of us close and we raise rates $50 a week and more people just can't afford to come.
So that's what you think it'll be, 25% of child care providers will have to shut their doors?
That is what the report said that we filled. 3,600 of us actually took a survey, and that's what we found. Greene County, where Markwein is 50% of us. I know myself and what the group center in town is 50%, and we are very, very sure that we're going to end up closing down if this doesn't come through, because we will not be able to continue operating.
Half of the child care providers in Greene County will shut down. Mm-hmm. Statewide, yep. 25%, because the GOP, while talking out of one side of its mouth about caring about families and making families matter, is in the next breath cutting the very thing that the vast majority of working Wisconsin families need, and that is affordable, accessible, findable child care so that they can work. It's really like the messaging here, Corrine, again, with the, well, what we're really caring about are wealthy families who can afford to have a parent stay home. And by a parent, we mean the moms or in-laws that can do this. At the same time, out of the other side, there's so many sides of their mouths. It's not just a two-sided mouth. They're talking about forcing people to return to work in government, right? They're talking about cutting Head Start, early childhood education. We know that every dollar spent on early childhood education returns somewhere in the ballpark of $15 to $20 in return on investment, whether that's avoided other costs, more productive increases in childhood wellness and all those things. This doesn't make any sense. You can't stitch it together in a way that has a coherent policy viewpoint. It's all over the place, except if you assume the people that they're governing for are families that have collective incomes of $500,000 or more. Like, that seems to be who the Wisconsin Republican Party and the Republicans in Washington, D.C. are constructing government for.
Yes, absolutely. You nailed it.
Well,
and it's so frustrating.
Yeah, that ain't me. So I will be with you in spirit, though I can't be with you in person. That is Corrine Hendrickson of the Main Street Alliance, a child care provider helping us take note of the National Day Without Child Care. We're going to put the link on our show notes today where you can find out where various demonstrations across the state are taking place. Please call your state representatives and senators and tell them to restore child care counts in Wisconsin. Our families are depending on it. I conclude this show with Matt Rothschild, my special guest host, after these brief messages here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. Boy, that Monday show flew by. Busy.
Sure did.
Busy, busy news day with some fabulous guests here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Big thanks to Corrine Hendrickson of the Main Street Alliance. She herself is a daycare provider helping us all get smarter about the threats posed by the Wisconsin GOP to childcare. They apparently don't care if you can't find it, and even if you can find it, you can't afford it. Don't care. But no, they'd rather spend more money on prisons and tax cuts for the wealthiest among us than they want to make sure that you have the child care that you and your family need so that you can, you know, go to work, the thing that they say they're all about. Again, big thanks to Corrine. Here's another statistic from that report that Corrine was talking about, Matt. 25% statewide, if this GOP $500 million cut to Governor Evers' proposed budget stays in place. In other words, if they strike out all of the funding for the Child Care Counts program, which is implemented during COVID to help ensure that people could find child care and afford it, if they put a line through that, it's not just 25%, that's the percentage. The absolute value is somewhere around 87,000 to 90,000 childcare slots in the state will disappear. Poof. Gone.
Yeah, they don't understand there's a childcare crisis already in Wisconsin. And if they take this $480 million out, the crisis is just going to get ridiculously compounded. I don't understand the lack of understanding, sympathy, empathy for everyday Wisconsinites here. I don't know why Howard Markline doesn't show up when people in his district ask him to come to an event. He's on joint finance. I think he's one of the chairs of joint finance. He has got incredible power, and he doesn't even meet with his own constituents on it. That's an abdication of his responsibility as an elected official.
Here's the thing. Conservatives and progressives and Democrats, we're always going to have policy differences. If you want to tell me that we should cut $500 million, it's $480 million. I'm just going to call it $500 million. $500 million in supports for childcare that is already back-breakingly expensive for those that can find it. If you're going to tell me that that's the way to solve the childcare crisis in this state and nationwide, gutting Head Start on a nationwide basis, right? Tell me what the replacement is. Tell me how it's going to work if that's not the plan. I have such a constant problem with, well, this is too much government spending, so we'll just act like there aren't families struggling to find and afford childcare. It's like this weird suspension of reality where, again, everybody's a family making over $500,000 a year with retired in-laws that are healthy and well enough to take care of. They live in Never Never Land. I just don't, that's not, families making a half mil a year is not the norm. I hate to break it to you, Senator Markline.
And the callousness is just beyond belief. I mean, you know, what are you telling parents who have to go in the workplace and they have kids that have to go to childcare? What are you telling them to do? Or what are you telling the families that have kids who need the free lunch? They, you know, crossed out the free lunch money, too, on Thursday when they had these savage cuts of Governor Evers's budget. So what are they telling us? They're telling us, we don't care if your kid goes hungry at school, and we don't care if you've got to pay through the teeth even more than you are already for childcare, or you can't find any childcare anymore because of these cuts that they just put through on Thursday. And they're not even going to meet with their constituents to talk about it. And what a mockery they make of the public hearings they had around the state when one witness after another said, we need this childcare subsidy. And they just, you know, took it away like it was nothing.
Yeah, thanks for showing up. I'm just going to ignore you now, is what they should actually have the cojones to tell people in those hearings.
Right.
Like, actually look someone in the face and be like, I hear you, I feel your pain, and I'm not going to do a damn thing about it. In fact, I'm not only going to not lift a finger to help you, I'm going to screw you even more by getting rid of the subsidy that your family, and I don't even want to call it a subsidy. These are government grants to keep child care semi-available and semi-affordable. It's literally the minimum that can be done. But what they want to talk about and bargain with the governor over is tax cuts for the families making more than $500,000. Like, what are you even talking about? It doesn't make any sense. Here's this. 65% of American families today say they won't have a kid because they can't afford to have a child. If you want to bring American families back, Donald Trump and the GOP, start with affordable childcare. Start with paid paternal and maternal paid parental leave. Start with universal child care health care. Start with universal school breakfast and lunch programs. Let's make sure parents won't go broke trying to take care of, educate, feed, and provide health care for their kids. All of these things are things that exist in every single other, quote, Western, quote, developed country. They all have this stuff, except us. And we sit around wondering why people aren't having more kids. This is why. I've sat, Matt, with friends of mine. I'm in my late 40s. For the last decade, I've had discussions with friends of mine and the existential fear that grips so many of them when they unexpectedly get pregnant again, or just the worry that has been following them every waking moment since they've had kids because it's so unaffordable these days. We've got to leave. Oh, and this little tidbit, Donald Trump and RFK Jr. Yeah, let's cut that sudden infant death syndrome department from DHHS. We don't need to worry about that anymore. That problem's been solved. Pro family. My elbow. That's the nicest way I can put it this afternoon. Thanks so much, Matt Rothschild. I'll be back tomorrow.
Pleasure.
We'll continue to talk about the state budget cuts by Republicans that'll hurt your family and mine with Dan Schaefer tomorrow on State Slate. Don't miss that. That's going to do it for you. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together for actual family values.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.